Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Yes, Lord Jesus, you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords because you are risen from the dead. Well, friends, here is the classic way of giving and receiving Easter Sunday greeting for the last 2,000 years. As long as the church was birthed and is alive, we have been saying this. Someone says, Christ is risen, and you all say, he is risen indeed. Okay? And now, here's what I want you to do. In the comforts of your home, in your pajamas, in your Sunday clothes, doesn't matter. Okay? I'm going to say, Christ is risen, and you say, he is risen indeed. And I want you to dance with me in terms of keeping the same volume and the energy level. You ready? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I love that. That sense of triumphantism that Christ is risen indeed. I'm going to sing a song for you. Only the first line. Okay? It's a really famous, popular Sunday school song, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. And what I'm asking you to do is, I want you to sing the second line. You ready? Here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank you. And I sing the song, and you say to me, Victor, how do you know that Jesus loves you? Well, I just told you, I just sang the song, for the Bible tells me so. And you ask me, well, how do you know if the Bible is telling the truth? And I say to you, because Jesus says so. And you say, well, how can you trust Jesus? Because the Bible says so. What am I doing? It's a circular argument. And this really doesn't help you when you're asking the question, how can you put your trust in the Bible? That's the question, right? Okay. This past week, I was listening to a news, and I heard this man in his 30s talking about the death of his father. His father was in his late 70s with underlying health conditions, and he was contracted with COVID-19 virus, and then he passed away. It was a very sad moment for the family. Now, here's what I want you to hear. The man said it was really, really tough saying goodbye to our dad. But what was just as hard and difficult was the fact that we as the family couldn't gather together because of the physical isolation and social distancing. We couldn't come together to mourn the loss of our dad and to grieve together as the family. That was really hard. Now, as a pastor in the Christian church, what if I said to the man, I'm sorry for your loss, but put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you will see your father on the day of the resurrection. You will rise with him, and he will rise with you on the day of his return. A word of hope. And what if he asks me, Victor, how do you know that? I say, the Bible tells me so. Well, how do you put your trust in the Bible? Well, I simply believe. See, that kind of circular argument doesn't help someone ask who is asking for hope in Jesus Christ. If I want to put my trust in Jesus, how can I be sure that he is the real deal? You see, I believe. We need the Bible, obviously. But I think we got something even better. We have something better that verifies, certifies the Bible's claims and promises. I'm going to call that an event. An event. Listen, if the Bible alone is the foundation of your faith, as the Bible goes, so goes your faith. Let me repeat that. If the Bible alone is the sole foundation of your faith, then as the Bible goes, so goes your faith. If your faith in God, if your faith in Jesus Christ, if your faith in church, solely rests on Bible only, alone on the Bible, then whenever you come across, when you experience this shifting doubt about the Bible, then so goes your faith. In fact, I wonder if this is what happened to you. Maybe you were brought up in the church early on. You had a childlike faith. If the Bible says it, it settles it kind of deal. And then as you began to have questions about the Bible and your questions were not answered or you weren't satisfied with the responses you got from the people, from the pastor, from the church. So as your faith in the Bible goes, so goes your faith. And that's why you may have left the church. Maybe that's why you have left faith altogether. You see? Now for some of you who, for whom this is brand new, you are here because you are uncertain about the future and you want hope. And you're trying to hold on to one last straw, you see. And then someone said, check out Jesus Christ. I hear he gives hope to the people. So you are here. And you want that hope. You want the hope of Jesus Christ, the living hope. And yet you are asking the same question. How can I put my trust in Jesus simply because the Bible says so? Well, here's what the Bible says. Check this out. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Apostle Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Give the reason for the what? Give the reason for the hope that you have. Apostle Peter and the early Christian church and the Christians, they put their hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our living hope. And for which they were persecuted. They went around telling everyone, Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. And therefore, put your hope in him. He is your living hope today, tomorrow, for eternity. For saying that, for claiming that, they were persecuted. They were tortured. They lost their jobs. They lost their home. And some of them were even killed for making that claim, you know? And Peter says, when people ask you, why do you have hope in Jesus Christ? Peter says, be always prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have. Don't simply say, well, simply because the Bible says so. Don't simply just say, if the Bible says it, it settles it. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Not everyone. I value a childlike faith in Jesus, that innocent, pure faith. That's all good. But I'm telling you, we need more than that. Maintain the innocence and the purity of your childlike faith. At the same time, grow up, gain this intellectually robust, sound doctrine and be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have, that Jesus is the hope of the world. I read something really thought-provoking and scintillating thing from Andy Stanley. This is what he wrote. Christianity does not exist because of the Bible any more than you exist because of your birth certificate. He goes on to say, your birth certificate documents something that happened, an event. The Bible documents something that happened. I put my trust in the Bible, but we have something better, something more solid. An event. Let me illustrate. Okay, I hold in my hand the certificate of live birth of our son Joshua. Name Joshua Kim Ko, male, single, not as in single or married, single as in plurality. Was he a single baby or twin, triplet, etc. Okay, well, he was a single baby, born in Kalamazoo, Michigan. June 6, 2000. Okay. Parents, Yunia Kim and Victor Ko. And here's what I want you to notice. Okay. I, Timothy Snow, clerk of the Circuit Court of Kalamazoo County, do hereby certify that the following is a true and correct copy on file in my office. What is he saying in the certificate? He is certifying, verifying, authenticating an event that it actually happened. What was the event? That Joshua Ko was born on June 6, 2000 in Kalamazoo at Bronson Hospital. Joshua doesn't exist because of the certificate, but instead, Okay? This certificate documents an event that happened. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay? Let me translate this. We believe that the Bible is true because of an event. Bible documents the event. Bible certifies that something happened, an event. And what is that event? The one event that combines all the promises of the Bible and says, if this event happens, then you can trust the Bible. Words of Jesus Christ. He told his disciples, you don't believe me now as your Lord and Savior. You don't worship me now as the Lord of heaven and earth. You don't put your trust in me now. But after something happens, after an event, you will worship me. You will put your trust in me. And you will fall before me. And then you will adore me as your God and Lord and Savior. What is that event? Not the crucifixion. What is the event? Not the miracles. What is the event? Not the teachings and the preachings. Nope, nope, nope. The event is the resurrection. And Jesus said, I claim to be God and the Savior of the world, the Messiah of the world for you and for everyone here. And you can trust me if one event happens. And if it doesn't, you don't have to. What is the event? It is the resurrection. The resurrection. Let me continue on. We believe Jesus rose from the dead, and not only because the Bible says so, but because of an event. Now, to be technical, the early Christians, they didn't have the Bible. They only had the Old Testament, the Jewish aspect, right? The Judaism, Old Testament. They didn't have any records of sayings of Jesus Christ until much later on, centuries after. Okay, decades after, rather. Things were passed down via oral verbal tradition. So they did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead because the Bible says so. They didn't have the documents, right? They believe that Jesus rose from the dead because of the eyewitness account. An event happened. Let me read Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. When the Sabbath was over, meaning when Saturday was over, okay, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Jesus was crucified on Friday. He's been in the tomb for 3 days. Saturday is done. Sunday comes. The three women go to the tomb to anoint the body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, Sunday morning, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other. And what did they ask? Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Those three women who saw Jesus tortured, beaten, crucified, and dead. They also saw Jesus Christ buried. They are coming back 3 days after, and they weren't expecting to see Jesus, were they? What they were expecting? They were expecting the dead body in the tomb. They're coming to anoint the body. Let's move on. Verses 4 to 7. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. In some cases, these rolling stones of the tomb, okay, weighed as heavy as 2 tons each. And they were asking, who's going to roll over a stone for us? As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were, what? Alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified, as you have seen. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But to go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Okay, see, right there. Jesus told the women and the disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to die for your sins. But in 3 days, I'm going to rise and then you will see me again. None of the disciples believed Jesus because they expected what? They expected the dead man to remain dead. The 12 apostles and all the followers of Jesus Christ, they saw Jesus Christ beaten, spat on, tortured, flogged. They saw Jesus Christ being nailed in the hands and the feet. They saw Jesus Christ being his side, being thrusted by a spear. They saw Jesus Christ die, and they saw him buried in the tomb. And they saw all that. And what did they expect? They expected that Jesus remained dead. Nobody was expecting that he would rise from the dead. Nope, not at all. Let's continue on. Verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They were afraid, confused, perplexed. Nothing made sense. They saw Jesus die. They saw Jesus buried. And now his body is gone. They didn't know what to make of this. You see, the disciples did not believe in Jesus because of the Bible. They believed in Jesus because they saw him rise from the dead. They saw an event which the Bible certifies. The Bible documents the event, and the event is Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The gospel account is all about the eyewitnesses. They saw Jesus, they claimed that they have seen him, and therefore they spread the hope. Well, let's find out what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. What's he saying? Did you catch that? What I have received, I pass unto you. And what has he received? The eyewitness account. The disciples told the Apostle Paul, we have seen Jesus alive. Let's go on. Verse 3. For what I received, I pass unto you as of first, what? Importance. This is paramount. This is the centrality of the gospel. That Christ, number one, died for our sins according to the scripture. Number two, that he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. You see, this is an eyewitness account. The Bible documents, the Bible foretold, prophesied what was going to happen, but they didn't believe any of that until when the event happened. Verse 5. And that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. You see, Peter, the 12 disciples, and over 500 people who eyewitnessed the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, and they all claim, we have seen the risen Lord. And that's why we began to believe. That's why he became our living hope. Verse 7. Then he appealed to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, this is the Apostle Paul, also as to one abnormally born. He's not talking about deformity in his physicality. What he's saying is this. He explains what he means. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see, the Apostle Paul was a fierce zealot against the Church of Christ. He wanted to put the Church of Christ out of business. He went around capturing Christians, men, women, young and old, and he tortured them, and he even put to death many of the Christians. On the way to Damascus one day to carry out his persecution, he encountered risen Christ. And all of a sudden, he did a 180. One moment, he was persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ. And the next moment, he is the most zealous and the most fervent, most committed follower of Jesus Christ. What happened? The Apostle Paul says, I saw Jesus alive. You see, they believe Jesus is alive, not only because of the Bible, but because of the event of the resurrection. The birth and the explosion of the Christian church happened because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They couldn't stop telling everyone, he is alive. And since he's alive, he is our living hope. We believe Jesus rose from the dead because Matthew testified that he saw him alive. We believe Jesus rose from the dead because Mark testified that he saw him alive, that John testified he saw him alive, James testified that he saw him alive, the disciples testified that they saw him alive, Paul testified that he saw him alive, over 500 people testified that they saw him alive. Friends, Jesus rose from the dead, and we know this, we believe this. It has been verified and certified by the eyewitnesses. I grew up in the church, and into the university years, my faith was not genuine because I've heard the saying, if the Bible says it, then it settles it. My faith in the Bible was not strong enough. So when that faith faltered, so did my faith in Christ and the church. So I became an agnostic, a nominal person. I couldn't verify the claims of the Bible until my second year in the university. I came across this tiny little book, Modern Carpenter, which deals with this notion, this assertion that Jesus Christ's resurrection is the proof. And you can put your trust in the reliability of the Bible because of the event that happened before. And friends, that's what I am asking the Holy Spirit to do in your heart. Jesus is our living hope today, not only because the Bible tells me so, but because he is alive. Jesus is in control. He is the Lord of the storms in your life. He can calm the storm, or he can calm the baby. Not only because the Bible says so, but because Jesus is alive. You live today, and you will live forever if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and the dead will rise on the day of the resurrection. Not only because the Bible tells me so, but because Jesus is alive. Your sins are forgiven, that you are made right with God the Father, and he claims you as his children. Not only because the Bible says, tells me so, but because Jesus is alive. Jesus loves me, this I know. What? For the Bible tells me so? But also, Jesus is alive. And that is why he is our living hope. Friends, let's conclude. For those of you who came here this morning wanting hope, living hope, that's going to make a difference in your life today and tomorrow and for the weeks to come. Put your faith in Jesus. He loves you. He cares for you. He will take care of you. How do you know? Because he's alive. And let me talk to some of my friends who once had faith in Jesus in the church of God, but you walked away. Your faith in the Bible faltered, and therefore your faith faltered. Friends, Jesus is calling you back. He is saying, put your faith in me as your living hope. Put your trust in me. Not because the Bible says so, only, but he is alive. And I want to say to the followers of Jesus Christ, friends, he is your living hope. He is my living hope. And we know that his words are true, that he is God. He is the Savior of the world. And then he is our Lord who's going to come back. And in the meantime, he will take care of you. How do I know? How do I know? How do you know? because he is alive. And friends, we got to spread this hope. We must spread this living hope to our friends, to our neighbors, to our city, and to our world. Our world needs more than ever the living hope of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this celebration of Easter. And Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would, by your Holy Spirit, minister to each and every one of us who is joining in this worship time. Lord, comfort us by your living hope. Lord, challenge us by your living hope. And Lord, help us to spread this living hope. Because you are alive. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Lord Jesus, we worship you now. Amen. Friends, let's rise together. If you are so willing and able, in your pajamas, in the comforts of your home, let's rise and sing Christ alone. Our hope is found.